Are we gonna talk about the original Steve?
More on that mall investigator video.
Streaming in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Questions, news, requests, new technology you would like us to review, team updates, event updates, or if you would like to be a guest on our show, email us at submit@paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Phone lines are now open. In North America, call toll free. 1-888-429-5471. International callers, please dial area code 530-763-1594.
I'm just wondering if there's going to be any more intro.
The intro never ends.
I think this is the outro. There we go. Oh.
One more.
There we are.
Good evening and welcome to Paranormal Investigator Radio. Steve isn't here, so this is Peter bringing you in. I'm Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Why'd we start it like an AA meeting?
I don't know.
We should start these in like AA meetings.
My name is Dave, and I hunt ghosts.
Do you mean Astral Association?
Yeah, do we all say hi,
exactly
Dave?
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Dave.
Unfortunately, with Dr. Dave being here, not two radio shows in a row means I, again, can't be Dr. Dave Prospero.
You can be Steve now. Nobody's ever been Steve.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
Be Steve.
All right. We got a good lineup tonight. We're going to debunk some photos. We're going to talk about a recent investigation.
We're going to talk about paranormal
talk about
stuff?
Vaginal steaming.
Oh,
I mean, we
God.
Got a whole lineup here.
Wonderful.
Yay.
That was actually on one of the paranormal websites.
Vaginal steaming?
Yes.
Vaginal steaming.
Wait, do they, like, is it like steam cleaning?
I don't
like,
know. Summer cleaning?
They steam it? Like, do they steam, like, steam vegetables? You
Please
put it in a colander and then you put it over a...
Something like that.
They run a rug doctor.
I think that's about the size of it.
So phone lines are open.
I hope
we would appreciate your phone call. Please, don't make us talk about vaginal steaming.
Please.
Only my my head right. Just went somewhere where it should... Oh, that's a double pun, but...
He's a funny guy. He's a punny guy.
So we're trying to get our Facebook page up to 14,000 likes, so please go on there and like us at Facebook and Rome Investigators of the Paranormal.
What are we at right now? Do you happen to know?
3,700.
Ooh, that's not
so
too shabby.
So we need 10,000 more by morning.
Oh, boy.
I think we can make this happen. BBS is the happening place.
That's
Heck
it.
Yeah.
Love BBS.
I enjoy BBS as well.
BBS?
Great
Radio
bunch
Network.
Of guys.
To show you how stupid I can be sometimes. I mean, I'm thick as a milkshake sometimes, but I actually thought they were British, the British broadcasting system.
Oh, peace.
It's not.
No.
I'm wondering why they didn't have an accent.
I was like, what did they trans? Why is this going through California? I'm like, aren't we in broadcast?
Why do they not have accents?
Well, welcome to liveparanormal.com.
I only deal with the Brits for that accent.
Haggis to you and your parents.
Hey, bollocks on you.
Right, you dirty little... No.
All right, So
bring us in, Larry. Bring us in.
What's on the hot sheets there, buddy? What do we got going on?
Not a thing.
Not a thing? What topics are we going to talk about today, Peter?
No clue. That's why we're waiting for a phone call.
Why don't we talk about an upcoming event that we have?
Ooh.
St. Valentine's Day.
If the Guilford Historical Society is hosting us on February 14th from noon to 3 p.m.
Valentine's Day Massacre.
I guess there's going to be foodies. There's going to be historical displays. We're going to be talking from 1 to 3. And then I got to rush home and bring candy out for dinner or I'm going to get killed.
Mm-hmm. Afternoon? No.
Yes.
Presentation.
Apparently it's already a big crowd expected.
Really?
Then we have... In April 11th, that weekend there, we'll be up in Salem at Salem Con.
I'm very much looking forward to that one.
I hope they're ready for that one. And then the week after, I'll be in Woodbridge, New Jersey for the New Jersey Para Unity Festival.
Jersey's always a good time.
Dare I announce this too? In July, we will be pushing forward with GriffCon 1, which will be the New York's premier UFO, Bigfoot, cryptid, metaphysical, and the paranormal crap convention. The date that I originally wanted is actually booked by the local roller derby girls, so I have to redo everything and reschedule. But
we can bring them into our convention, though. I mean, roller derby girls.
We could try.
They're paranormal.
We could try. Mm-hmm. We've also talked to Mr. Johnny Zaffis, so he might be coming up this away for two events. We definitely will be doing a Rutger Mansion event in May.
With him?
Again, the dates aren't set. Working on it. Nice. And the shops at the finish line again, probably in June-ish. Zaffis has already been talked to for that one.
We're going to have to give him another script to read.
Oh, you didn't? Couldn't use the other one? I thought when he ripped it up and punched me in the nuts that was... I get paid for this!
Richie.
We paid him back, though. Larry enjoyed it. We got to go to Denny's for the 2 a.m. transvestite convention.
Yes,
Denny's.
Sir.
Nice.
I was the one on Genesee's. Denny's on Genesee.
Yeah. And they are some classy ladies.
Should I have said that on the radio?
I don't know.
Targeting that.
That's okay.
It's a Denny's. We throw them a lot of business. I mean, we should get decals for our car.
And I'm sure there's numerous Genesee streets out there. I don't know.
Investigations are starting to roll in, so the girls will be setting that up, and hopefully they include you guys on some of the stuff. I know there's a little animosity now. All of a sudden, there's the ladies of RIP. You know, the guys got to represent. We got Larry here with that luscious head of hair. I mean, we're starting a campaign. Visit his Facebook page, Larry O'Grady, and tell me if he would have not been the best Edward selection for Twilight.
Nope. Let's not do that.
I think
it's
so.
Vampires don't sparkle.
You got a dreamy quality about you.
Thank you, Mike.
They
you
only
too.
Sparkle in the sun. I mean,
jeez, Louise. Let's not talk about
that.
At least
you had night, so I don't know if you sparkle in the sun.
All right, you could be Daryl on The Walking Dead. Would you want Daryl on The Walking Dead?
Oh, not at all. I got to deal with people like that every day, 40 hours a week. Do you think I really want to look like him?
Yep, go.
Yeah, that's what I want to see. Yeah, sure, I'll deal with that.
I think you should go with the angsty, glittery vampire.
Run with scissors, sir.
Oh, boy. I guess not.
Have a hairless chest.
I'm trying to figure out what these...
Are you looking at the pictures?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what these... I can't pronounce it. Is it the Hesedlin?
Yeah.
The lights?
Hesedlin, maybe?
Spell
Hesedlin? Hesedalen.
Hesedlin
lights.
We're number four. The photos we're about to talk about, if you go to our Facebook page, we've posted the link. There's 10 pictures here that are pretty much unexplained. And Larry's talking about number 9 here, the Hesedlin lights. Where was that? Norway or something?
Yeah, that's what
Norway.
It looks like. Yeah.
Norway.
Hmm.
So we're basically looking at a squiggly line in the air that's moving.
But what's the rainbow on the bottom? What are we
the
looking at?
The rainbow is. Right? Would you agree that the...
This is a very, very, very long exposure.
You're a photographer.
Yeah. So this is a long exposure, probably, since you could clearly see the stars, and because of all the pixelation down below, this is probably like a 1 minute exposure, and something was going across the frame. Now, a lot of times, if a camera is being pushed right to its very limits of capabilities, then you may have some imaging sensor issues, which could account for that rainbow phenomena down in the bottom.
Okay.
So I would imagine that this is a really old picture captured on an early digital camera. We're talking maybe late 90s or...
Like a 2-megapixel camera, of the early...
I mean, that...
Because of the
that
graining.
Static, they probably have the ISO pushed all the way up to like 1600 or whatever the limit was back then, maybe 1000. And this is, again, probably in the middle of the night, maybe like a 1 minute exposure picture. So I would say there's nothing paranormal about it. It's just a bizarre...
Well,
again, these pictures are on our Facebook page. Follow the link and
You can have fun with us.
This is the best picture they could get. This is the best picture they can get. These lights have been, it says right here, these lights have been seen. They were 15 to 20 times per week. People will come from all over the world from 1981 to 84. Now the sightings are down to 15 to 20 times a year. But that's quite a, that's a lot. Like, that's the best picture they could get. It's a horrible picture. I would like to see, like the Northern Lights.
I was going to say, is this some type of Borealis being caused?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
It says on the bottom, it says that as of last year, scientists think it's...
swamp gas.
The metallic rock inside the mountains combined with heavy amounts of sulfur in the river have created effectively a battery.
Swamp gas.
When ionized gas is created from the fumes, the lights become visible.
So, Dave,
theory still hasn't been proven, but it's been put forth.
You would immediately dismiss the top because that's some kind of movement of an object, right? I
would dismiss the bottom.
Okay, the bottom.
The rainbow stuff. I would say something physical up at the top is caught. Something would have had to cause those streaks. So,
okay, so you're saying the colored rainbow is a failure of the sensor.
Something to that effect, yeah.
And you could see, like, this was, like, on a time delay. It was time, the shutter speed.
Oh, yeah.
So you can see the stars, they've got kind of a trail to them. But then, you know, you've got that thing in the sky kind of moving around. That would have been, like, if you said it was a minute, it would have had to go in a minute.
To replicate something like that, they call it light painting. It's a technique. And people often take a bare bulb flashlight, and they will hold it at the camera and just, you know, wiggle it around in streaks. And the longer you hold it stationary, the more orb-like a portion becomes. And the faster you move it, the more tendrily it becomes.
My buddy Mari, he set his camera to, I don't know, a certain shutter speed or whatever, and they all ran around with their phones.
Yeah.
And he's got it, like, framed in his house.
Right.
It's
that's
pretty cool.
To me, that's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah.
See, my favorite is 8. That one scares me. The mystery of the Hook Island sea monster.
Yes.
Are those eyes?
Yeah.
Yes, that's one.
It apparently looked at him in the boat.
Are they, though? Like,
and actually,
you know,
this picture is not really the whole thing, but in the whole picture, you can actually see just past it is a boat with, like, people in it.
How big is this thing?
What do they have here? This was taken in 1964.
75 to 80 feet long, estimated.
And where is this place?
Queensland, so that's what, Australia?
Yes.
Excuse me.
See, I mean, my Matrix thing all of a sudden looks like the dragon-type dinosaur eyes with the mouth and two snaggly teeth.
If you look at the whole picture, and the picture's in color, there's a color picture of it, I believe, where you can see the whole picture looks more...
Australia, bar none, has the world's most terrifying creatures. So I wouldn't put it past Australia to have some kind of sea monster.
Yeah, why not? They got bugs the size of B-52s.
Good God.
The spiders are insane.
2 feet wide? Are you kidding me?
Because I think the original picture's in color.
No, thanks.
They'll kill you. Those orb weavers, they'll kill you.
Is that the one where you can see the boat in the background?
People play with them on the
wall. See, it's a much better picture than what's on this website.
They're like lightning. They're like lightning
fast. It's ridiculous.
No way.
Yeah, for some reason, I can't actually open the pictures on these for some reason. But.
Let's talk about something up our alley, the SS Watertown Phantom Faces.
We should stop.
Number 6.
Okay, we got something paranormal.
We should stop
going on
jumping
here.
Around and I think cover them.
Oh, that's an ambulance.
But I think we should cover them in order rather than just...
Is that, are we, you want to talk about it in order? Is that what you want to do, Mike?
Yeah, are we going in order?
It doesn't matter to me.
Larry jumped a gun.
I'm sorry.
How did we jump the gun?
Wait, go back to 10 for a second.
Because it's the 10 pictures and Larry jumped to number 9.
The babushka lady. Is this the same lady that's in that other movie with the cell phone?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
No, this is the JFK assassination babushka lady.
I know, but it looks like the same lady that's seen in that.
So you think she's...
My brother and I were talking about that, and we've got a theory. She was definitely... Okay, all right. This woman's not from the future. Okay, period.
Are you sure? Come on.
Well, I'm just saying, like, let's step into reality here. Like, let's just... She probably had a compact or something in her hand, and she was talking to a friend of hers, and she probably itched her head, and then the picture was taken at a certain time. It looks like she's on a phone, and come on. Come on.
I think she was.
There's not even any. There's no cell phone towers.
That's right. It's interdimensional communication.
Yeah, but if you had high enough tech, you wouldn't need a cell phone.
That's
tower.
Right. Who needs a tower?
So if you'd like to call in and
what is it? Contact through what? Gravity waves.
That's right. That's right.
If you'd like to be a part of this weird discussion with these pictures, here's the call in information.
Phone lines are now open. In North America,
they're
all toll-free.
They're way open.
888-429-5471. International callers, please dial.
I don't think anybody international is going to call.
And actually, Larry, you couldn't even get by without gravity waves if you just use a crystal. Because crystal's ability to focus energy, you can sort of mento wave.
Mento?
Mento. Mento wave.
Mento
wave. Phone calls into the future.
I'm just, I...
Or past, but depending on how far in the past you go, there might not be anyone with a phone to receive it.
Because I was watching this, I watch all those physics DVDs and all that, and I love them, like, I can't think of anything. Fabric of the Cosmos, and I love that. And they're talking about how you'd be able to communicate intergalactically with gravity waves as opposed to anything else, because gravity is, you know, it's everywhere. It's universal, so you can use these waves and communicate. It's pretty cool. I really love them. The DVDs, that is, not gravity. Well, I like gravity. Well, we need it.
Gravity helps, especially when you're going to the bathroom.
It does. It does.
Which right. brings us to number
so,
7.
Babushka lady, no.
Nah.
Has Dylan lights, no. Or was it the Mystery Hook Island? I don't know. I think
could
it's
be.
A pretty viable picture.
I agree with David. There's a show there with that guy who chases river monsters. He frightens the hell out of me. But there is some scary stuff we don't know about.
Hook Island will put on a fence thing for right now.
Now we're on to the Soloway Firth Spaceman Mystery. And if you're a ufologist, you know this one because it's been controversial for years. It's the little girl with the spaceman standing behind her.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, the picture was taken in 1964. If this is a hoax, it's a good one because you could see like him through the hair of. I'm looking at like things they would probably miss.
No, I don't doubt there's a person behind her. I just don't think it's a spaceman.
Yeah.
See, they say one of the claims that it's the mother was standing behind her, but got washed out in the. But you're talking a chemical picture, though.
Now, is it possible it's a cloud? Is it possible it's a cloud behind her?
I
don't know. The arm is awful strong there.
It's the back of them.
Yeah,
and it almost looks like she's wearing, you know, like that beret type hat or a kerchief, and the back up near it looks like a hood.
Back in the
like
60s and 70s.
Oh, wait a minute. Sunglasses here. That's what, yes. Like you could see something protruding off the head.
On the side there? Yeah, that's, I think that's
so
just
it's a backside view.
That's
yeah.
just a backside view. Of
I think
somebody.
It's just somebody standing there with a white jacket on. And
yep.
I would
that's
almost
exactly what that is. I just zoomed in on it. It's a guy, he's got a hoodie on. Look. Look.
Yeah.
He's got a hoodie on. It's behind. It's, look.
That's what I said. See?
But
yeah.
Now you have to hear the backstory of this. I mean, is it something like I took a picture of the little girl and there was nobody there
yeah,
at the time?
Yeah,
is that what it was?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he didn't notice there was anyone standing behind his daughter.
Didn't notice anyone other than his wife and daughter
well,
at the time of
right
shooting.
There. She probably had a kerchief on it. I remember growing up, my mom used to wear the white kerchiefs when she was outside.
I still have great aunts who still do it.
Yeah.
So,
especially when it's raining.
Yep.
And in England, we can assume that
it's always going to rain.
They're at least prepared for rain.
So are we saying no to the?
I'm going to have to say no to the Soloway Firth Spaceman mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the next one is a good one though. 6. The SS Watertown Phantom
that's,
Face.
That's the one, Larry.
Finally, Larry, you want this one.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, there's always, you know, you can always just, your brain will figure things out in inanimate, you know, and just, like, you're looking at a cloud, the man in the moon syndrome.
I would have to see the pictures of the two seamen that died there, that those are supposed
to
represent.
Those, I mean, those,
I'll show you. Some.
Those look straight up.
Please don't.
Those straight up look like the face on Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
I think it's what you
pareidolia.
Pareidolia.
It's cool to think about, but I don't think it's anything legit.
The captain said these faces were floating in the water for days next to the ship.
So what is this? What are we looking at? I mean, what is being photographed?
These two men apparently died on the ship.
But are we looking at the side of the ship? Or are we looking at waves?
That's in the waves, apparently.
Yeah, over
What's
the side.
What's the backstory
here? Over, like, the side of a ship.
Cargo tank.
Oh, I can zoom in, too.
Men were overcome with gas fumes, died there, buried at sea. But for days following the sea burial, the reflections of the two men's faces were seen in the water.
That's weird.
But. Again, matrixing. Now, if they put a picture of the, like I said, the crew there, the two guys that had died, then would give you more.
Yeah.
Of a chance to speculate on that. And again, does it really look like water? I don't really know.
And
I'm assuming this is the ship.
What are these two pipes or whatever?
Oh, I think they're like rigging.
Yeah, it's probably
random,
like ropes or
random
something.
Random stuff on a boat.
So then how would they be taking a picture of the water? I mean, it looks like they're taking
the water
a picture
would be
of
a ball.
Yeah, it looks like a wall of water.
Yeah, I see what the perspective's not right.
Yeah, there's just something not right about that.
And this was supposed to be, this was taken in 1924. Now, I'm wondering with cameras, like back to shutter speeds and things like that, when, I know that there was a point in time where you had to stay really still for cameras.
That was anything below the late 30s or early 40s.
So how could you take a picture of moving water and have it be that? It's not clear, but
they would have to tell
the
water to stand still
for
about 26 seconds.
Well, they would have had the celluloid film by then.
Oh, yeah?
They wouldn't be snapping on glass anymore.
But it would still have been through the bellows camera, and the shutter would have been a manual shutter. So... I don't know.
And again, when was it taken? Was it taken at night, during the day? It would have to be during the day because...
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know,
pictures
folks.
Are always so hard.
Well, that's also the problem with a website like this is it only gives you the bare minimum. I'm sure if you look up the SS Watertown, you can probably get more info. But I think it's just...
So now we have number 5. Is there an alien satellite orbiting Earth?
This, I am eternally fascinated with the Black Knight satellite.
So you apparently know something about this, so go for it.
It's a big chunk of something that's allegedly orbiting Earth that has supposedly been there for thousands of years.
How do they know?
The
it says 13,000 years here.
Because, ancient astronomers noticed it. Allegedly, when Tesla was experimenting with radio waves, he actually picked up some strange radio waves emanating from space, and they supposedly came from that. This thing supposedly been sending radio communications to Earth forever, waiting for whatever to receive. And Tesla was just pawned off as being crazy or whatever. But
could we be receiving different wavelengths from outer space that we could be interpreting as different as radio waves, actual man-made, but in reality they're just like a radiation?
The longer the distance away from the Earth, the longer the wavelengths are. The closer to Earth the source is,
the shorter
they are. So that's how they differentiate the Doppler effect.
Okay, yeah.
So when they get these huge, gigantic radio telescopes, and they're getting these waves, I mean, these waves are periodic on a massive scale, like minutes to get 1 hertz. Whereas something from like a GPS satellite, it's receiving just constant pulses because it's so close to us.
Okay.
So there would be no way for a near object to mask itself as a far object because it's a physical distribution of a wave.
And it jumped up in just reading the blurb, in like the 50s and stuff, it became big because astronomers were actually able picking up like satellites in Earth's orbit before we actually had
satellites in orbit.
And supposedly it's a big thing that they, because obviously if the government launches a satellite into space, you'll see this.
Yeah.
So it's all part of the whole conspiracy, and the big thing is that it's not natural. It's actually, because if you look at it, it looks That's actually a pretty good picture of it. They think it's some sort of alien.
I was going to say, even private astronomers now should be able to get a very clear photo of that.
Absolutely. And now that we have a manned space station and all that stuff.
Well, yeah, you'll never see anything from NASA, but I would think private astronomers. So if there's a private astronomer out there, we're charging you with getting a picture to us.
And I actually just, my brother brought this to my attention, actually, just last summer it was brought to my attention.
Are there better pictures of this out there anywhere?
I can't find anything.
No.
But I mean, if you look at it, it looks like something straight up out of a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, it does.
Like an
Absolutely.
Alien spacecraft or...
Now, is this what was... Did you guys... Now, okay, when was this taken? I can't find it on my phone for some reason.
That, I don't know.
There was one that just happened just recently when NASA was...
oh, yeah.
Did you hear about that?
Yes, they cut off the live feed.
And they cut off the live feed because something started coming over the horizon?
Yeah.
Holy shit!
Yep, that was weird.
See, that's crazy.
I've watched quite a few on YouTube of the spaceships taking off of the moon. Now, that's the problem. I don't know what the hell is Photoshopped anymore. I mean, people are so good. But it's supposedly live feed from the space station showing these black dots, like, leaving the moon, coming onto the moon. And it's,
we only know as much as they want us to know.
Right.
They. I mean, that's how do we know? You can't. Whatever.
Like, I listened to one which was allegedly leaked from, it's actually Australia, because the original moon landing broadcast went to Australia, and then it was fed to Houston. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
The original Australian footage is crystal clear of the moon. And apparently they do have pictures of whatever the hell was there with what's his name, Neil Armstrong, because at one point he did say Santa Claus is real, and then they came over the line and said switch to whatever it is channel, and that was the end of the feed. So it had that delay between Australia and the U.S. that they could cover that. But there is apparently the footage from Australia that has that in it.
And, you know, that brings up another question about this privatization of space flight and all that stuff. Go ahead.
That picture is from 1998. The object photograph 1998 during the STS-88 mission has been widely claimed to be this alien artifact. However, it is more probable that the photographs are of a thermal blanket that had been lost during an EVA.
Oh.
Which, looking at the picture...
Does look like...
It looks like a blanket floating in space.
That's pretty funny. If it's a blanket, if it's just like a blanket floating in space, that's hilarious.
But according to the website, you know, it's been... Like I said, Tesla was picking up waves from space in 1899. Navy claimed they picked up satellites when we hadn't launched any yet. Then there was another strange object that they found was actually a wrecked piece of a satellite that blew up. And a Norwegian guy claimed he took the information he got from this and translated it. And when he marked everything out, it was a map pointing to a distant star system.
Wow.
But then afterwards he said all his things were based on flawed information, so he retracted everything he wrote. And then, this was taken in 1998. And actually, it does. As much as it looks like a science fiction ship, if you tell me it's a blanket, that's very easily believable as well.
I mean, it's not really going to change shape. It's going to stay crinkled however it was and just flow through space.
Yeah.
That's what's EV? What is EVA? What is...
Extra vehicular activity?
No. They said it probably went into space during a
spacewalk.
Spacewalk.
Oh, and it just floated out. Nobody noticed it.
It was probably in the airlock or something.
Airlock, or the guy, or they were doing something with a thermal blanket in space, and it just
floated off.
This guy's like, I can go after that.
It's only $1 million for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
You know, though, the other thing with that is the old radio wave pickup and everything. If like the Northern Lights and stuff, speaking of the Northern Lights, any ionization up there, it bounces off. And you could pick up the Northern Lights on an AM radio from halfway across the world. You could hear the static. It's just a cyclical hum.
Really?
And then when the Northern Lights fade out during a season, that hum is gone. So who knows what they're...
Actually, my friend just brought up, I didn't get the whole story from, but he said we had just picked up some sort of radio wave from... deep space or something.
There's so much stuff out there. And like Larry said, whatever they want us to hear about, we're going to. But who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. It's
And that's what I was just saying a minute ago. It astounds me that the government is letting this private space initiative, like SpaceX and all that, take over. Because if somebody else is going to be going into space that's not regulated by the government.
How do you know they're not regulated by the government?
Well,
you know, like,
know,
how do you know? How do you know that they're not like, let's make it look like blah, blah, blah. Send them out and make it look like we're going to go, you guys,
that's why,
you kids.
That's why if you're going to back anyone for space exploration, Richard Branson.
Richard Branson, all the way.
I'll make my own rocket. Let's
Except
go.
He just had a catastrophic issue.
Did he?
Yeah, one of the test pilots was killed in a crash. A test up there. One got out, one got killed.
So they apparently have it on YouTube. I'll watch it tonight about the Australian footage, but... They said that that was faked, and that was the footage that they filmed before they made the mission in the studio there, the take on what they were going to do. But see, when astronauts come back and say they've seen things, that scares me. And they're even though they're under that gag order, I believe Neil Armstrong was one who talked about that. John Glenn was another.
Yeah,
there were several others.
That one of the astronauts came back and like said something.
A few of
them
have so far.
I like watching those videos from space where you see it's just the littlest dot, but you see it going, and then it just stops and shoots
the
opposite direction.
Yeah.
I mean, unless it hits something, but it's going so fast that it would probably break apart. It wouldn't stay intact and go into a different direction. I just think that's amazing.
I
was going to say not anything paranormal, but I had actually recently heard that one of the last guy, I don't even know his name, but the last guy who walked on the moon with the Neil Armstrong expedition or whatever.
Buzz Aldrin.
No, there was a couple of them in there, more than
Cooper.
Just,
I've been to space.
He put his daughter's.
What have you done?
He put his daughter's initials.
On the sand?
Before they left. He was like the last guy to get back out. He put his daughter's initials on there.
On the moon?
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, like, you know, every time she looked up her name, but like. Since the moon has no atmosphere, they'll never go anywhere or recover. So, like, her initials are eternally...
On the moon?
Like, on the moon.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Like, how cool is that? Like, how cool is that? My dad put my initials on the moon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did your dad give you?
Yeah, what did your dad give you?
That's a good idea. That's how you make some money. Sign the moon for a couple thousand dollars. You get somebody to sign your name in the moon or whatever.
Well, isn't there that ridiculous treaty that nobody could own the moon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Antarctica Treaty.
But yeah,
I say the hell with it. Let's just claim it. We've been there.
They're selling plots on the moon, though. Some company is. You get a deed for a like 1 foot by 1 foot
section
piece
of
the moon.
See,
kind of like adopting a highway.
Yeah.
Adopting a star.
I love listening to those interviews of astronauts when they talk about that stuff, like the weird stuff that they've seen. Because most people see an astronaut and they say, oh, you know, they worked for NASA. They went up to space. That's great. They're cool pilots, whatever. But nearly all of those guys have, like, two PhDs from somewhere, like Stanford, MIT, Georgia Tech. You know,
back in the day, astronauts were always your badass, like,
these are people.
You know what I mean? They were Navy gung-ho.
But even Buzz Aldrin has a PhD.
But I thought he got that after he had already been to space.
Oh, maybe he did. But, I mean, these are very intelligent people. So it's not like... You're gonna run down to Walmart or you know somebody off the street and say, yeah, this is what I saw, blah blah blah. I mean, these are guys that are really with it. Really with it.
It's not not somebody who
and they're accomplished military. They all have to be command pilots.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They were all like military pilots and now they're all just really big scientists.
Okay, so according to our presentation that we give Gordon Cooper, Donald Slayton, Robert White, Joseph Walker, Eugene Cernan, Ed White, James McDivitt, James Lovell, Frank Borman, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, Maurice Chatelain, and Scott Carpenter all had UFO reports.
Wow.
So the first two Mercurys, two X-15 pilots, apparently one filmed them, Apollo 17, Ed White, the first American to walk in space, saw that, a couple Geminis, and then the Apollo 11. So that's early flight there. I mean, you could attribute that, well, it was space junk and they didn't know, but how does stuff actually get off our atmosphere up?
Like, how do you get space junk before we're in space?
I mean, there are reports of them being in space, and I mean, they're looking at the Earth and they're seeing shit leave just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Oh my God. How I just
didn't the Russians send up a.
The Russians threatened us saying you better start talking about this stuff or else we will.
They sent up
just recently
way back in the early days of their they sent a guy not I think it was the guy he might have been the guy either before or just after they sent Yuri Gagarin into space. They sent another guy into space and lost him.
I'm sure they sent many people up before we even knew him.
Like,
I'm sure even John Glenn wasn't
just,
our first.
He just they just lost him in space.
That's terrible. Holy cow.
I mean, it's not like anything's going to, I mean, it's still going to be, I mean, he's still going to be intact. Oh my God, how long ago is that? He's still going to be going through space. There's no back,
Listen,
I mean, not, everything's going to happen inside.
Absolute
it's not,
zero, that's it.
That's
you're,
it.
You're done. You're always in the same state.
That's amazing. I think that's amazing. Like 40 years from now, someone's going to be, it's a meteor, it's a person.
It's the big boy floating through space.
It's just
John Crichton.
Yeah.
He got up there, hit a wormhole, and wandered a distant part of the galaxy.
Man.
Oh, I sent you all those declassified NASA documents. I sent you that email.
I didn't get it. Yeah, the new blue book thing, that was... I went through that. There's a lot missing from the original...
There was an event that took place last week, or the week before, where the government declassified, like, tens of thousands of pages of confidential UFO documents.
But it's all like blacked out still.
No, these are the ones that are like the original documents.
Oh wow.
Oh, really?
And I sent him a link to them.
I think that's pretty great. I think next radio show we should get one of those classified documents, like the books that have them in there, and just like play Mad Libs with
that's right.
And we just
fill in the redacted.
Yep.
Alright, I need a
verb.
See, Neil Armstrong was always a hero of mine growing up. I always wanted to be an astronaut, but this GD lazy eye kept me out of NASA and the leg problem. But I always loved that. Well, plus I'm 400 pounds.
No.
But,
all right, Pete. Steer towards Andromeda. Take Andromeda!
Oh,
Ryan, Andromeda!
God damn it!
The sun!
Hey, I would have been up there with the guy from Spaceballs. Need a little helmet, man. No, but,
Oh, my
so
God.
I'm perusing through our UFO presentation, which we don't give often, and I always give the disclaimer, people who dig into the conspiracies of UFOs tend to commit suicide or die very weird deaths.
Fall out of their hotel.
Yeah.
He was shot. He shot himself 8 times in the back of the head. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But
I'll tell you, Jesse Ventura's books are pretty good. They're pretty fun to read. He's just like, F you, you're going to tell me. And he's got these books. My brother's got a few. Some of this shit, man.
But he's high profile. They won't touch him. That's the difference. I'm nobody, so. I can easily die in a car accident.
But he's talking about that. People.
Well, we are ripped.
Sorry.
I mean.
Well,
no worries.
That book, Along Came a White Horse, or A White Horse Comes, or the guy had this crazy conspiracy, and it involved like a senator or someone that they pushed out the hotel room, or he was hanging from, or. Man.
He's making this up as we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, bring it home. The Montauk guy was killed. All the scientists at Montauk were gassed in their car. They all committed suicide in their car. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But I have the direct quote here, which we found. This was actually on the moon. Neil Armstrong, NASA, what's there? Mission Control calling Apollo 11. Apollo 11, these babies are huge. Sir, enormous. Oh, my God, you wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you, there's other spacecraft out here lined up on the far side of the crater edge. They're on the moon watching us. Switch to Channel 4, NASA. Then years later, Armstrong made the quote, it was incredible. Of course, we had always known there was a possibility. The fact is, we were warned off, assuming, by the aliens. There was never any question then of a space station or a moon city. I can't go into details except to say that their ships were far superior to ours, both in size and technology. Boy, were they big and menacing. No, there is no question of a space station.
Wow. Is it possible? I mean, it's completely possible for another, like, for like Russia to have sent something up without us knowing. I mean, it was wartime, you know, and they weren't buddies with us. They wouldn't tell us what they're doing. Yeah. It's possible that they sent something up and just, it's one of those things that some people died, some people didn't, some people made it back.
That's why I'm interested in us pushing the GRIFCON thing with the UFO people, because Rome is home to Griffiths Air Force Base, which in itself is well known in the conspiracies. And if you start delving into the Black or Blue Book Project stuff, you'll start seeing things coming up there. But here's another reminder. I'm, like I said, I'm going through our presentation. Werner, or is it Werner von Braun? The German rocket scientist was at Griffiths for an undisclosed period, and then NASA was born shortly after he left.
My grandfather worked at Griffiths. He retired from Griffiths, and he would tell me stories. Like he was pretty much office, but he would tell me stories about all sorts of shit that he would experience and hear and see. I mean, I don't know. It's just, I don't want to say anything though.
And my last thing with the UFO, Major Quintanilla there was stationed at Griffiths in 1960, and then he took the assignment right after Griffiths, which he was never listed assigned to anybody, took over command of the final part of Project Blue Book, and he was the one who shut the program out in 67. So there's a lot of speculation, you know, with the lab, with Griffiths, the weird things. You got to draw in the high cancer rate of this area. Something went on that's not normal.
Could it just be missiles being stored?
Nobody knows. And then there's the conspiracy about the 14-story buildings that are underground. That's a joint U.S. alien base. I mean, we've always said go to friggin' Walmart on Thursday night. You'll see some strange.
That's one of the things my grandfather told me about when he would work. I mean, he would tell me flat out. He said, you know, Larry, what you see of Griffiths isn't even half, not even a quarter of it. 90% of it's underground, he said, and it's so big. And this isn't just coming from him. This is coming from, you know, like him working with these people. I just think it's incredible. There are times he would hear explosions. They'd sound like they were coming from underground. Every time he said he was there during three big explosions that he ended up hearing and feeling, and it shook the ground. And every time they would happen, it would be a group of guys in suits running by up and down the hallways, people they've never seen before. They don't talk to him. It's just.
So that would explain the cancer rate. They were testing nuclear weapons underground.
They were doing something that wasn't kosher. That's for certain.
I didn't look up the guy getting out of the hotel, but the book I was talking about was Behold a Pale Horse by Milton William Cooper. Crazy. Like he had a million. He's one of the guys that believed AIDS was created by the government to kill ethnics and gays. One of those guys. But he's got a crazy, you'd probably like it, UFO conspiracy thing involving the Illuminati. And he's got a take that Kennedy was killed by his driver using a special pedal next to the gas pedal that he pumped that shot Kennedy in the head. And the reason why the government killed Kennedy was because Kennedy was about to go public of the United States involvement with extraterrestrials. And yeah, and then the guy himself eventually went crazy.
No.
And like fled the government. The government was after him for all these, a series of, you know, like illegal possession of firearms and tax evasion. And when they finally caught up to him, he pretty much went out in a blaze of glory. Like,
jeez.
Like he went out like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, like the government, and he ran out and they gunned him down. And
that's nuts.
How weird.
That's insane.
I know we talked about it early on in one of our episodes. There's the Dulce Air Force Base incident, which was a joint CIA alien base where they apparently had an underground battle with the aliens and the CIA, and there were only like two CIA people who survived it, and one of them went forward making all those claims, telling everybody, and he said, they're going to kill me because I'm telling you of all that was going on. And he apparently died of some mysterious
disease,
illness, but they always said he was a nut and there's no such thing. But so look into the Dulce Air Force Base. That's another.
After September 11th, back a while ago, holy crap, there were a handful of people that were coming forward saying, listen, something's up. You know, this is what I saw. One guy actually came forward and said, I'm not crazy and I'm not going to kill myself. So if I end up dead, I'm not the guy. 2 months later, dead, or however long, dead, suicide. What? He signed papers saying, this is what I saw, everything's gone.
There was a special on it. I don't remember what I watched. There were like 40-something people they killed, including a major general or something. That train wreck that was in Washington, D.C., where the guy was allegedly texting, one of the only two or three casualties was that general, and they said that was staged to kill that general, and it showed all these witnesses or whatever you were referring to that were killed. There were like 42 people. Yeah. Some outrageous number. It was in the 40s. It was, you know, car accidents, cancer, mysterious death, the weird texting accident.
Texting? Wait, the guy was driving a train texting?
You remember that? Well, that was a few years
ago. How do you crash a train texting?
Was he texting?
Aren't they pretty much...
You just go.
Was he texting or did they kill him and they just faked?
They killed him and then they put the phone in his hand while he's dead and they were like, wiped it off.
The train conductor was texting
and
led to the crash, but...
And
the general was one of those casualties or whatever his rank was, but...
I got something to contribute here. This, what I was just saying about all these declassified documents, this is from CNN News. January 4th, this happened. I'll just read two paragraphs here. It's enough to make Mulder and Scully seethed with envy. Nearly 130,000 pages of declassified Air Force files on UFO investigations and sightings are now available in one place online. Declassified government records about UFOs have long existed on microfilm in the National Archives in Washington, D.C. Many of them also live on websites devoted to the topic, sometimes free, sometimes not. But UFO enthusiast John Greenwald says his database, which is called Project Blue Book Collection, is the first to compile every single declassified document from the Blue Book Project headquartered at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio from 1947 to 1969 in one place for anyone to search or download for free. The collection consists of files from Project Blue Book, Project Sign, and Project Grudge, the names given to official investigations into unidentified flying objects by the United States military, and many, many more, blah, blah, blah. So the website is projectbluebook.com. Oh, no, it's gone.
Uh-oh, Dave. They're on to you.
They already shut it?
Yeah, it was projectbluebook.theblackvault.com. Yeah, this is like a couple weeks, and it's gone.
Wow.
We obviously were working on the flying saucer, because a long time ago on one of these sites with the declassified documents, I've seen pictures of the flying saucer by Bell Aircraft, and they were all stamped Rome Air Force Laboratory, Rome Air Developmental Center, 1950-something. They blacked all the text out, but they left the pictures of the saucer. So they were working on something.
Wow, that's weird.
But let's finish out the 10 pictures, and I know Mike was excited, and I'm glad you brought up Cooper. That brings you to the famous picture of the Cooper family, mysterious guest.
Yeah,
I know you were drooling all over that, but now he's like watching.
Well, I went off on the whole panel.
He's watching like sci-fi porn.
James Forrestal was the guy who got thrown out of a window. He was a Secretary of Defense. Anyway, I'm off. Okay, now I gotta refocus.
He had a ship named after him. It can't be that bad.
That's a weird picture right there.
Yes, there's something about it that creeps me out, and like I can't say it's real, but it's. I don't know, like why you would.
Yeah, right, Pete.
I would go to that length for a picture.
That's what I mean. Like
hanging from a chandelier.
It actually stands out. Like it doesn't look like it's part of the.
You know what? That might be a triple exposure.
Yeah, there's something. There's weird shadows going on.
That's what I mean. There's like.
You know the weird motion blurs that you see in there. Have you ever seen the horror movies where they have the really shaking, like, you know, that?
Oh, yeah.
It reminds me, like, this guy would be sitting there, you know, doing the shaking thing.
Like a Tool music video.
Yeah, that
like
bothers
weird,
me.
Weird crap going on.
Yeah, I don't.
So we're saying no to the Coopers?
It's just a weird one. I don't know. It's a weird picture without.
We're leaving it unsolved.
Like, it looks too solid to be. Yeah, I don't know.
So now we're back to the moon.
Back to the moon forever.
Are there pyramids on the dark side of the moon?
Well, based on our previous discussion, there's something back there.
On the dark side of the moon.
I ain't tackling that one.
According to Marvel,
I mean, you guys.
There's a Kree city.
There's a lot of weird pictures that people take from that that I've seen from the dark side of the moon that actually look like structures, looks like things that are built
ships
there. Like they started doing something, and they just left it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a man on the moon needs a place to live.
He can only eat so much cheese.
He can only stand in the sun for so long, so. That does look like a pyramid, but at the same time, it does say that they probably...
Can I see that, Mike?
Yeah.
And that's on the dark side of the moon?
That's on the dark side of the moon. However, they also claim that this picture has been heavily...
Again, why is this stuff so grainy? I mean, it's...
I'll see you on the dark side
so
of the moon.
So to round this out, we got the Goddard's squadron photo. I've seen a lot of this, and this one always impressed me, but they never show you the picture of Freddie Jackson to compare with. Is that Freddie Jackson standing behind his body?
Which is the picture?
He apparently died in a plane crash a couple days before.
But which one in here is it?
It's him in the back, isn't it?
Oh, right there?
This guy right here.
Yeah.
Where to see the guy in the back?
Yeah.
Back row, like kind of.
But again, to be more convincing, I would need to see a picture of Freddie Jackson. I mean, that's
right. This is him, man.
How did he die? Right, it was air mechanic killed by an airplane propeller.
Oh, that's a bad way to go.
Isn't that like first day? Isn't that like intro to airplane mechanic?
Yeah.
Don't get killed by the propeller.
Don't go near the propeller.
And this photo was taken at his funeral. So.
Oh really. See,
I'd
that's
be more worried
more
about what this guy had going on with his face.
The guy up on top with the Hitler mustache or whatever?
Yeah. No, the guy right in front of him.
Oh, the weird guy?
Down to the bottom right, where his face is kind of blurred out and scully and demonic looking.
Well,
look, he's got a cigar in his mouth.
That,
good old dude.
That at least is a little more convincing than most of the Matrixing one. That looks like a clear, distinct face.
That looks like a reflection.
It does look like a reflection. It's weird.
But then is it just somebody in the back standing in the back of the hangar? That's just...
Imagine that would be a picture that when they're looking at it, you're obviously going to find yourself in the picture first. And you're going to look at it and you're going to go, holy shit, that would probably stick out right away.
And then how do we know
he
was actually taken at his funeral?
Yeah, who knows? Who knows?
And then number one, I didn't even understand. That was the mysterious death of Elsie Lam, who was found in a water tower at the top of her.
Yeah. Did you see the video before that?
No.
Let me tell you some crazy crap's going on. She is losing her mind in this elevator. Losing her mind for about 15 minutes, going nuts. Back and forth and up and doing a dance and... all by herself, and then all of a sudden she leaves, and then they find her in the water. They find her in the water tank on top of the roof. And I'm almost positive, Pete, that water tank was sealed. That's how they found her in it. It was sealed. They had to open it, and she was in there.
So how'd she get in it?
Exactly.
So she.
This was in
suffered
Canada.
From bipolar, Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Seems
I'm sorry.
Like part of the mystery also is the fact that for as long as this video goes on, the elevator doors never.
Because she's constantly going through them. If you watch the video, she's constantly doing something. She's always moving. So who knows, man? I watched that video, and I mean, there's nothing paranormal about what she's doing in the video, but it is kind of eerie to watch her, and that's knowing that she died right after that. That's weird.
Ooh, and then someone updated her blog 6 months after her death.
No shit. I'm sorry, but I didn't know that.
Oh, this year they're supposed to be making a movie about her.
We should have talked about this one. This one's far better. 40 weird mugshots. That's the living Beavis right there.
I know exactly what one you're looking at, too. Yeah. I know what one you're looking at. Peter, what was that?
Sorry, I hit too much fiber. Wow, that show went quick. We only have like a minute or two.
Yeah, I know.
It was
good
a good
discussion.
See what happens when we have an agenda?
Holy cow.
I wish we could go on longer. You know, Joe Rogan's podcasts are like 2.5 hours long.
F Joe Rogan.
Oh, stop it.
Jeez.
This show is being brought to you by Rome Investigators of the Paranormal, Inc.
Is that what we're doing now?
Okay, Pete's got an ad playing on the computer.
His damn pop-ups. I think we're good there.
Joe Rogan,
I think we're getting our final call here. We got 2 minutes.
All right. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to us.
And don't forget Valentine's Day. We're going to be at
Guilford Historical Society at
the Baptist Church.
The Baptist Church on
Main route, Street.
The route. Whatever route goes through there. 30-something. I'm sorry.
It's somewhere near Norwich.
It's near Norwich. We'll be in the southern tier. Wow. Thank you for having us.
Who's doing that?
We're also booking.
You said Steve's doing that one with you?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Unless anybody else wants to do it, it's Valentine's Day.
Cool. I got it off, so I'll go. I already,
I got nothing else.
Steve's famous down there. The last one we did in Norwich, he stepped in dog poop before we started. So we were off to a shitty start.
Yay! Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. We've got a comedian over
Forget
here.
Forget about it.
I got a joke for you later.
Okay.
Almost got me in trouble at work.
Oh, good.
Yep, we're booking all over wherever anybody wants us. We'll speak. We'll talk.
We'll travel.
We'll give you some humor.
Make people laugh.
We'll poop on a table, whatever we got to do.
Make people cry.
Yep.
Lives will be changed forever, just like Bob Evans and Dunkirk. We will come back.
We almost
you
got
can't
kicked
keep
out
us
of there.
There.
Oh, thanks to Mike.
Damn Sky Whale.
God.
It was fine until he brought the circus midgets in that the Sky Whale eats. That was it.
Circus little people.
If you've never seen 16 people get kicked out of a Bob Evans, we'll videotape it next
I've been
time.
Kicked out of by a lot sketchier places than Bob Evans.
Yeah, but I didn't even get to eat my sausage.
Just the only reason we went there. What do you guys want for dinner? I want Bob Evans sausage.
And then what do I get? The turkey dinner.
It was a good time, though. Good time indeed.
Good times. Always good times.
Look out, Salem. You have no idea what's coming your way.
You're next.
You think you're haunted?
Pete's going to be burned at a stake.
We're going to crush you with the weight of Rip.
Prepare.
Whoa.
On that note, let's go out on a happy note. I'm Peter Leonard, and I thank you always and forever. I am indebted to everyone who listens to us. You make my life complete. May all your wishes come true.
Ugh,
and may you win the lottery.
What are you doing?
I'm Mike Perillo, and I can't compete with that goodbye, so good night and good luck.
And I'm Larry O'Grady, and I'll tell you exactly what I think of you. No, but thank you for listening. And if anybody has any questions next time, please call, send us pictures. We'll talk about them on the air. And
like us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
And I'm Dr. Dave DiProspero, and I am very happy to be here tonight, and I'm happy you guys are listening.
Stay spooky, everyone.
Good night.
You can't get us not to like you.
We like you. We really like you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.